Greetings. On behalf of the St. John's United Methodist Church family, I want you to get ready to have life spoken into you. These messages that you're going to hear by audio or video are carefully crafted that they might feed your faith and starve your doubts. We pray that God will make you stronger and will prepare you for the destiny that He's called you to live into, not only in the week to come, but in the rest of your life through how God speaks to us through His text and through these servants. We treat it with precious honor that we are gifted and given the opportunity to feed your faith. And so now, get ready, receive, and know that God has a word for you.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. According to St. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, from the New International Version. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thine sight, for you are our strength and our redeemer, and it is in your name we pray. God's people said, amen. We began this journey, this lengthy journey in the text last week, and talked about the Beatitudes in a way that now has us wondering, what did Jesus mean when he said in many of our subscripts or our translations, happy? We discovered last week that the better appropriate term for us is blessed, where he says in those nine places, verses 3 through 10, blessed, 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 actually 3 through 12. And in doing so, we discovered some help for our living as we want to be more faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. Last week, we had the privilege to talk to you about verse 3 and what it means to be blessed in the state of being poor in spirit. This week, I want to talk to you from verse 4, where it says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Eugene Peterson, in his transliteration known as The Message, says this: "You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then you can be embraced by the one who is most dear to you." So I want to talk to you about an attitude when you've lost what is most dear to you. Now, let me help some of you who are along the road with us. If you want some notes to take, some of you will do so electronically. There's information on how to get those in your bulletin, but some of you are hardwired like me and just need a good old-fashioned pen. You're welcome to do that as well. I hear you. We discovered as we began the journey that the word happy really is best translated as the word blessed. And the word blessed or blessed, depending on how you wish to go, old rubric or contemporary language, means this: holy, consecrated, prepared to be the full person Christ has called you to be for the living of these days. And so now, with that context, verse 4 comes into play a little better. Holy and consecrated are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. The CEB version, which is the version we use here often, the contemporary English version is in contemporary English Bible, is helpful, but not in this particular passage of Scripture. For that word happy causes us angst. I have yet in all my years of ministry, in my 25 years plus years of ministry, discovered anyone who has been happy when they are mournful. And if you are of that nature, please come see me. I would love to know your lessons of life. Part of the work of being a priest of the church, a pastor of the flock, is to shepherd people when they are mourning in various forms of ways. And for many of us, we've learned that they often, whenever they mourn, have one or many of the emotions we call grief. So I'm going to lay some technicalities here out for us and then get to the meat of the message so that you can understand verse 4 a whole lot better. An attitude for when you've lost what is most dear to you is the same attitude you have to maintain in all 9 lessons that Jesus offers us in the Beatitudes in chapter 5 of Matthew and chapter 6 of Luke. You'll find if you read the text, he says some of the same things in chapter 6. The one central framework he uses is the word blessed, and it means prepare to be holy or train to be a better disciple. That's the attitude Christ says we must maintain in all of these moments of our lives. Now, there are some subsect or some attributes to being blessed. Last week in verse 3, as we talked about poor in spirit, we learned that the attitude must be acceptance. Because only in accepting the state of our poor in spirit station do we grow in our ability to understand that as people of God, we are called to be blessed or intended for purpose through the prospect of owning the kingdom of heaven. I would invite you to go back and review that sermon from last week. But this week we understand now we are trained to be consecrated or holy when we are mournful, because in that process, we gain and learn how to be comforted. Historically, remind yourself of the text and where it lays itself. Right off the Sea of Galilee, he's on a mountainside. People have been following him for some time. People who are both former Jews and those who are Gentiles and some who are still Jews are following this one who is named Jesus as people of the way as they seek wisdom on how to deal with the vicissitudes of life. And as they come to him, he notices that many of them who have lost various things, from lost relationship to loved ones to people to standing, all have the state of being mournful. Offers me a good place here to ask you a question theologically. Have you ever lost anything that you have mourned in your life? A job, a relationship, whatever it is. Have you ever mourned? If you have not mourned, you are not in here, because there's not a person in here who has not mourned and faced the difficult emotions of this. And as one friend of mine who is a craft of the text in ministry said, a pastor, he said, boy, you really pick them, Troy. He said, I don't know a church sermon in the world that helps grows congregations by preaching about mourning. But I'm going to do it today. Because I think, and I believe, after prayer, that Jesus offers us these lessons that we might develop, that we might grow. And if we are ever going to grow in the fullness of being Christian and discipleship character that God's called us to be, we have got to embrace and become skilled in the process of mourning. Doesn't mean that we're not going to feel the emotions of it. In fact, if we can all be honest for a minute, the last emotion we want to feel in life ever is the emotion of mourning. Am I correct in that standing? Yeah, don't feel good. But if we're going to grow and develop, we've got to know what Jesus says about it and then take it on and then embrace it for what it is. So here is what it really means. Mournful really is, listen, be very careful about this standing. Mournful is the attribute, the opportunity, listen, to own what you have lost so that you can lift yourself beyond the emotions to be led in the grace of God's next. Notice the people here, they've left some things in chapter 5 of Matthew 4. They've left their homes. They've left their villages. Some of them have left their jobs. Some of them have left loved ones who said, no, I'm not going that way. Some of them have left other situations. They've all lost something. They've all left a standing in their place of relationship and in their community. All of them have lost. So what I want to begin by telling you with is that mourning does not mean that it's simply around the issue of someone passing, the issue of someone dying. Sometimes it means you lost your favorite watch. Sometimes it means you've lost a job. Sometimes it means you've lost standing in the community. Sometimes it means, but let me say something to you, and I think we all can agree that whatever station loss comes in, loss hurts a whole lot. And it's not easy to handle. And we have one of three aptitudes that we try to live into, which is either we emote all of our loss in our conversation and in our emotions outwardly to others. We take them internally, for we do not want to be embarrassed about the things we feel, and therefore we inculcate them to ourselves. Or we find strategic moments to release and let go, and hold back whenever we think it works best for our emotional advantage. Jesus, recognizing this in the people, teaches a very simple lesson in verse 4. He says, blessed are those who mourn. So first, understand that in order for you to develop in the character of being a blessed person, you must own the fact that there will be seasons that you must mourn. Dr. Benjamin Elijah Mays says this, that we only have a minute, only 60 seconds in it, forced upon us, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it's up for us to use it. We must suffer if we lose it, give account if we abuse it, just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. That includes the opportunity to mourn. One of the five stages of grief, listen, is anger. Another is shame. Another is bargaining. You want to try the other two? You ready for them? The fourth one? You ready? Hiding. That's a new term we use in the craft of chaplain ministry. Hiding, which means we remove ourselves from community because we really don't want to emote our emotions to others. And in the fifth, just depression. Just out and out feeling as if we lost. And in the scriptures, Jesus, knowing that all the people may eventually feel like they've lost because not only have they lost where they were, they're going to lose him, eventually says to them, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. He offers us this reality. He offers us the truth that if we're going to mourn, we're going to have to own it. And if we're going to own it, we're going to have to live through it. And if we're going to live through it, we're going to have to recognize that God has something for us in it, even when we feel like there's nothing to it. So here's what I offer you this day. You cannot mourn without appreciating how insufficient you are to handle life in your own strength. Here's the good news of the gospel. Jesus tells them, blessed are they who mourn. It offers us an access to both the limited nature of who we are as human and the unlimited capacity for the Christ we know and the Lord who is and the Savior of life to give us strength when we have none left. Because hope comes when we run out of our humanness. Let me say that again. Hope comes when we run out of our humanness, because if we can be honest with ourselves for a moment, our self-reliant nature does not yield us to trusting when we feel we can do it on our own. Jesus says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. It leads me to the four things that we learn in verse 4. Four things. First, I need you to understand, if you will, that in accepting an attitude that helps you deal with when you are in the place of losing that which is most dear to you, you first must do so by releasing your hurt to God in prayer and worship. Notice, they're on a mountainside, they're alone with Jesus, and Jesus is teaching them. They are having a worship service, in essence, friends. They are not as fortunate as us to have comfortable chairs and a wonderful choir and a halfway decent preacher, and the list goes on and on. But they are in worship because they have a phenomenal preacher. They have no choir, but they got a great mountainside in view. And they are being taught how to live beyond their own capacity. It's in these moments of kairos, these moments of worship, where God speaks through the Holy Spirit. And so now I'm going to approach you with a little bit of uncomfortableness for some of you. Because the truth is, it is in the mystery of these moments where we gather as a corporate community in worship that the Holy Spirit goes beyond our own humanness and pours into us things that we didn't know we had the capacity to hold when we hear with a listening ear to what the Spirit is saying. It is why worship is so important. It is why the church finds itself in a constant quagmire of seeking to be transparent and vulnerable. Now, this requires some vulnerability. Is there anybody here who loves vulnerability? I'm just checking. I'm just seeing. Disciples discover the richness of vulnerability, even when it costs you something. Because it's when that happens that you learn not only the humanity of who you are, but the humility of who you can be in Christ, and then the hope you gain by following the one who is faithful. Point two, when you develop the ability to have this attitude, when you've lost what is most dear to you, you discover how you can reject the spirit of loneliness by reviving your place, your right place in relationship. Now, this one's very tough. Because when you're mourning the loss of a loved one, or when you're mourning the loss of standing, when you're mourning the loss of community, when you're mourning something, depression is traditionally the first subsect of the attitude we want to obtain. I feel bad about it. I feel sad about it. I want to mourn. I want to have grief about it. And I'm not suggesting to you shouldn't grieve. Please hear me when you don't hear me saying that. Please hear me say you should grieve. Because even when Jesus Christ died, we are told in the text that the two ladies who loved him and who served him had a moment of grief. They didn't come to the next day. I'm not saying you shouldn't weep. I'm not saying you shouldn't mourn. But what I am saying is that there's a difference between mourning properly and letting mourning take over to you, that it becomes your mindset forever. And you do that. You reject it. You get over. You get past it. Not that you don't hurt from it, but you get past it. You become the person who conquers it by how you reject loneliness. So hear this, please. There's a difference between being alone and lonely. There's a difference between being alone and lonely. Allow your faith community, when you are in your most difficult of days, to nurture your faith by allowing them to walk with you. Now, you should know preachers are the worst at this. Because we love to keep challenges and struggles internally. I should redact that. Christians are the worst. Because the truth is, we have been taught that as long as we have Jesus, we're okay. And now we are. But we also are taught in the New Testament that we need each other. You're sitting next to people you need. You're in a community of people that you need. And every once in a while, you need to expand your community so you can have more people that you need. That is the part of rejecting loneliness, embracing the opportunity to be in community through the opportunity and access of events and programming and the ways in which the community serves. A third place here that's helpful for us. For when we gain an attitude that is most helpful, when we've lost something that is most dear to us, when we've lost that which is most dear to us, we do so by renewing our soul and our being through the submission to God and service to others we relay. How many of you struggle with submission? Don't raise your hand. Tough to yield to something that you're not sure fits your mindset. Can I tell you, at the center point of the Christian faith, as tough as it is to hear, is submission. At the center point of how we are to follow Christ is our ability. In fact, even Christ says this on the cross. He says, "Not my will, but thine will be done." And in doing so, when you release the responsibility to be your own Lord over yourself, what you yield is the responsibility to own that which happens in completion, because you are no longer setting the roadmap. You have one who is following instructions from heaven, who is setting the roadmap, and wherever and however it goes, it is well. So I would encourage you to embrace the opportunity to hear that blessed are those who mourn, for they will be. Notice that word will be, or that phrase will be. It is a promise that Jesus provides, that he secures on the cross of Calvary. And in doing so, it says in due season, the promise will be fulfilled. There is one final note that I want to offer you this day. I've truly got more information that I'd love to share that time does not allow me fully. But this is important. For having an attitude that you can embrace when you've lost that which is most dear to you comes when you reclaim your strength by seeking God and sharing your witness. I'm not saying that mourning doesn't hurt, but your mourning can be turned into dancing. In fact, the scriptures say that in the book of Psalms. Lord, you've turned my mourning into dancing. And what I want to offer you this day, if you will allow yourself to be used by God, that even in the midst of your mourning, and allow yourself to both renew your faith and reclaim it and reject it, and then at the same time release that which is not of God, God can take these moments, this time, and this season in a way to allow you to offer a witness to others that says, even in the most difficult of days, I trust Christ. Even when I'm mourning. There is a unit that I want to offer every person in the congregation to begin to embrace. It is one that has helped me in the last couple of months. I'm reading it fully now. It is called Uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. The name of the author is Brett McCracken, and the subsect of this book is An Awkward or Essential Challenge of Christian Community. In it, he says this, in essence, as he starts his beginning comments. No church is perfect, and every church is broken. And the key to living in that community is understanding that and embracing it in a way that you're not overwhelmed by it. I like that. Because not everyone will have the skill set to know how to come to you, when they should come to you, how they should come to you, the way they should come to you, and when you want them to come to you the most. And so some of this is just embracing the reality of people's humanness, because in their humanness, you get to see them live in the humility of the level that they walk in. But also you get to give the opportunity in your witness to say to them, there is one we follow together who offers us the privilege of being close to him even when we've lost what we seem is everything. I want to name this attitude, this second attitude, because the first last week was named acceptance, right? So now I want to name for you the second attitude or subsect of these Beatitudes. Here it is. Jesus says to us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, as I close this message, that the attitude we are to embrace as we stand as blessed of those who are mourn is dependence. Not just dependence, but a divine dependence. A divine dependence on the divinity of Christ in a way that even when we feel out of control, we follow the one who is always in control. That's hard for humans because it's our nature to want to be in control and look like we have everything together. But the truth is, when we mourn, we reveal the limited nature of who we are. And the goodness of God is this, that when we reveal the limited nature of who we are in Christ, we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and lead us in ways that only God can be lifted. Let me pray with you, please. God of grace and power and mercy, we thank you for the tough things in the text that you teach us, for the way we're learning to accept that which we find sometimes unacceptable, and the way in which we learn to depend on you even when we want to depend on ourselves. So for the various ways people come to the place of mourning, we ask your mercy, but we also ask you to give us an attitude of divine dependence, that when we need to pray and to worship and to seek you, we do so in a way that you build us up and give us the comfort of your Holy Spirit that allows us to go forward. And we ask all this and more to be done in your mighty and matchless and magnificent name. In Christ we pray, God's people said, amen.